Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, Owen McGee is with me. Good morning, Claire. Owen.
I definitely maybe think the hotel prices are linked to Oasis.
Do you? Really? Yeah. There's a surprise. Look, I mean, it's a supply and demand thing, isn't it? But I mean, as Maura said, if you get in quick and you're willing to stay out of the city centre a bit, you might still get the value.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things is lots of people have friends in Dublin too, and just get in there and get that bedroom booked in that friend's house and stay there instead and bring them along if you have to.
And hope that you get the tickets then, which is the other hurdle that you'll
I'm all excited about it, Claire.
Are you?
Yeah.
You'll be there, will you?
Oh yeah, of course. If I can, I'll do everything I can to be there, but absolutely, yeah. I can't wait for it.
Well, listen, you're here not to talk about music now and Oasis, but the difference between income protection and life insurance and the different types of products out there that can protect us if we're, an unexpected event happens in your life. So there are three main products or types of protection in this area?
Yeah, so there's three main types. One is life cover, and that's fairly straightforward. If you die, they pay out, and that's what it does. Specified illness cover is another type where if you're diagnosed with a list of, there's a list of illnesses that they provide, and if you're diagnosed with one of them, one of those specified illnesses, they'll pay out a lump sum, and that's a lump sum payout. And then the third one is income protection. Income protection pays you your wage if you're unable to work long term. And typically it doesn't pay for the first 13 weeks. Sometimes it's the first 26 weeks, which is kind of 3 months or 6 months. And then it pays you up to 75% of your wage until you're fit to go back to work or you hit normal retirement age, whichever comes first.
Mm-hmm. Do you say to people, and we'll talk about those things individually in more detail, but do you say to people that they should have all of those things?
Well, actually, when it comes to the hierarchy of which one's most important, if you're budget constrained, what I would suggest is life cover is the most important, because if you die, there's no coming back from that. Mm-hmm. Financially or physically, you're not coming back from it. And that's the one that can have the most serious impact. If you get a specified illness or if you're out of work for a shorter time or even a prolonged period of time, the average payout from income protection is actually about 7.5 years. Most people's careers last 40, 45 years or whatever it might be by the time we get there. But there is a possibility of recovering from that financially. There's no possibility of recovering from life cover. When it comes to specified illness cover and income protection, sometimes you have to weigh up which is more important there, which one suits you better. And that's a bit of a politician's answer, but it's a case-by-case basis.
So it's an individual, yeah, once you've individual assessed thing. Your needs.
Oftentimes we'd buy a bit of both. Sometimes people can't get income protection. Like, and it's funny, medical comes into all of these, life cover, specified illness cover, income protection, it comes into all of them. But with income protection, there's an added kind of complication in that your job is really important. So if you're working in an office, there's less things that stop you going to work compared to a taxi driver or a crane driver or a bar person or whatever it is. So where the job is a little bit more physical, you'll find it more difficult to get the cover. And therefore, occupation comes into it too. So sometimes it's just a case of we can't get you income protection, so we're just going to have to load it up on the specified illness cover, and that's the way we're going to do. I should say as well, these are the three main types of cover you can buy. Most people are also covered by PRSI. So, but the problem is the amount of cover, amount of payout that you get. Like, I'm going to really round the numbers here, but you're talking disability, it's about 200 euros a week-ish, a little bit more. And then if you die and you are married, and this is something our tax system, I think, is very archaic about. If you're married and your spouse dies, you will get a widow or widower's pension. If you're a durable couple, the taxman does not recognise the fact that you're a durable couple and you won't get anything. And that does mean, for whatever reason, sometimes you find, and I've given the advice before, I will be honest, I've given the advice before, if someone is actually terminally ill and they've had a long time partner, maybe it's time to tie the knot.
Yeah, so that you can claim that afterwards. Now, will we talk a little bit about life cover? Because you said at the beginning that's the easiest one to understand. Because
yes,
if you die, you get the payout. It's as simple as that.
It's as simple as that. And one of the things I find, and it's very straightforward. It does, like, there's no questioning you're dead or you're not dead, right? And it's incredibly limited circumstances that there's no payout. We don't really need to go there. But it's, you're dead, they pay out. Sometimes there's a bit of delay going through probate and all that type of stuff. But in general, it's a very straightforward black or white. This is the case. It's going to be paid out. Where I find the problem comes in with life cover is most people in this country make sure that the bank are okay if they die. And what I mean by that is they take out their mortgage, they do their mortgage protection, and then they when they die or if they die, the mortgage gets paid off. Mm-hmm. And great.
You're obliged to do that, aren't
you?
Yeah,
it's usually a requirement. There's some cases they don't, they get through without it. But yeah, in general, the general rule of thumb is, yeah, you're going to be asked to take out life cover. And some people will even find it difficult to get life cover. If you find it difficult to get life cover, they'll find it difficult to get a mortgage.
And it's your experience that most people go, that box is ticked.
Yes.
We're grand.
And they don't do anything else. And most people, what they will find, what you'll find is the only other life cover they might have is if they're in a big an occupation that has loads of employees and they've got a big group scheme, and they might have 1.5 times their salary paid out if they die, or 4 times their salary paid out. And that's the only other cover they get. But let's just think about this for a second. If you're 40 years of age and you're on €50,000 a year, and let's say you're going to work till 65. Let's forget about inflation, right? Let's forget about pay rises. 50,000 a year for the next 25 years is 1.25 million.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if you had died yesterday, your family might get 1,000 a month from the state in terms of widow or widower's pension. The mortgage might be paid off, and let's say that's €2,000 a month, but there's still 1.25 million before tax that your family is now going to go without, and you haven't protected from anywhere else. The average life cover payout last year with one of the companies I was looking at was 125,000. That'll get your family through about 2.5 years. Now, maybe a bit more because there's no tax to be paid on it. But my point is, we're incredibly underinsured in this country when it comes to life cover for ourselves. Our banks are fine if we're dying, but our families are not.
But what are you asking people or advising people to spend on life cover?
Well, it's actually this again, it depends. I have got some life cover quotes. I'm looking at, for example, €200,000 for a 50-year-old non-smoker for 10 years is going to cost them €35 a month. If you're 25 years of age, it's going to cost you just under €11 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting when you break it down like that. Now, I know that's just 200,000, and I'm just after giving an example of 1.25 million, but you can kind of multiply that by 4 or by 5 to kind of give you a rough idea of what the cost of that would be. It's not that expensive compared to all of the other expenses we have in our lives at the moment when you compare it to some of the things we do spend money on. And I know money is tight, but the problem is you just don't want to leave a financial crisis behind you when you're gone.
Yeah, it's just that when money is tight, they're the things that are going to go. You know, people aren't going to pay for those things that are down the road.
They are, but I think sometimes people prohibit themselves from even looking at it because they think, oh, 200,000 life cover is never going to cost me €35, mm-hmm. or if I'm 25 years of age, cost me 10.
Loads of questions coming in. Let's go to some of them. So this listener is James. He says, I'm coming to the end of my mortgage life cover. Is it possible to convert this to general life cover at a favourable rate? I'm 65.
There's a thing called a conversion option that you can put on at the start. It's an option. So in those cases, if you were looking at like €35, it might, and I'm making up the number, might go up to €37 a month. And that would mean you'd add a conversion option to it. And what that means is at any time before the end of the policy, you can convert the policy into a new policy with the same level of cover without answering any medical questions.
But do you have to do that at the start? When
you have to do that at the very start.
Because so for James then?
It depends. He needs to check and see, is there any conversion option on the policy he took out? And if there isn't, he needs to go through the underwriting process again.
Do the whole thing again. And that would be very expensive because his
age has changed. It's going to be more expensive now than it would have been.
Yeah.
And that's another interesting thing. Sometimes people say, oh, I'll take out life cover for 10 years and then in 10 years' time, I'll put a conversion option on it. In 10 years' time, I'll take it out for another 10 years. If you had taken out a 20-year policy at the start, you would have paid less over the term of the policy. So you need to be careful, and I would say this, but you need to get a bit of specific advice to you about what's right for you.
Okay. This one is from a listener who says, my husband is 58. He had cancer 12 years ago and thankfully has been clear ever since, and he's regular checkups and all the rest. They want to know, can they get life insurance? And if so, will it be much more expensive as a result?
So the interesting thing about this, there is a campaign at the moment, there's legislation that they're trying to push through, the Right to Forget, I think is what it's called, that once you're 5 years clear, the medical world is now telling the life insurance world, you shouldn't even have to declare this. And it has been put through. I was actually, we probably could have covered this a bit more detail today because I think it's a really interesting campaign. It has been put through in some European countries and we are putting real pressure on. And I think that's only fair. If the medical people are saying, once you've done your 5-year checkup and you're clear, I don't even ever need to see you again. If the medical professions are forgetting about you at that stage, mm-hmm. why do the life companies still want to keep going at it?
But as it stands, that is going to impact their premiums.
Yes, as it stands, it could impact the premiums. Now, it's not definite, Claire, because what they will do is, again, they'll do it on a case-by-case basis and they'll look at it and say, oh no, that's been X amount of years ago, we're going to ignore that completely, or they might add a loading to it. One of the things is, a loading I would prefer than an exclusion. So when a loading is where it's typically got to do with specified illness cover, where they say to you, you know what, we'll give you cover And we're going to exclude cancer, for example. So we'll cover you for everything else, but if you get cancer, we're not paying out. I'd much prefer, sometimes they'll do that, or sometimes they'll say the ordinary rates person, the person who has no medical history whatsoever, is going to be 50 euros a month, but we're going to charge you 100 euros a month and we're going to cover you for everything. I'd prefer that one. I'd prefer the one that doesn't have the exclusion, if I'm honest.
Big loading though. You know?
And sometimes loading, it goes up to, I think it's 400% and then it goes to decline. So it can be a serious loading, yeah.
Right. Listen, I want to go back to specified illness cover, which you touched on there at the beginning. So how does that work?
So it's basically, they've a list of illnesses, right? And typically you can have like 50 and 60 illnesses listed out. And once you get diagnosed with that one of them, and once you live, the clause is usually you have to live for 14 days after diagnosis before they'll pay out. But once it's been diagnosed, it meets their criteria, they will pay out.
So what do I do? I'm taking out this policy and I sit down with a list of illnesses and I tick them off.
No, you're automatically covered by all of them, unless medically they say you're not covered for that one there.
Right.
Everyone who takes out the policy, and all the different companies have different illnesses. In general, you can get caught up on how many illnesses they have. In general, 75% of the claims are for cancer, heart attack and stroke. And in fact, for females, it's actually about 75% of female claims are cancer. And for males, about two-thirds, 66% of claims are for heart attack related or heart related issues. So you can get caught up on how many, like there's some stuff in there, like at one stage, I'm not sure if it still exists, but at one stage, one of the companies was covering you for BSE. Mad cow disease or whatever it was called at the time, BSE. But that's something that you can only diagnose after death because they have to take something out of your brain to confirm that you had it. So sometimes these lists look great and they're long, but just remember, cancer, heart attack and stroke are the main three things. They cover more than three out of four every claims that are paid. Sometimes you hear bad news about these. Oh, my friend had cancer and didn't get paid out. With specified illness cover, it's somewhere between 85 and 90%, depending on what company that you're looking at. Their stats would suggest of the claims they receive, they will pay out between 85 and 90% of the
claims. So regardless of how well you are, they pay out on diagnosis.
Yes.
So proof of diagnosis and you're paid out then.
Yeah. And that makes it quite different to income protection, because what income protection does is it pays you your wage if you're medically unfit to work long term. OK, and what that means is it's not really about what it is that's keeping you out. It's just that their doctor and your doctor agree you can't go to work. Mm-hmm. So, for example, 33% of all claims last year, again, with one company's stats, I was looking at 33% of the claims for mental health issues with income protection. Now, that wouldn't be covered with specified illness cover at all.
Yeah, but you're waiting at least 13 weeks before you're paid.
And remember, for 13 weeks with some of the bigger jobs, like I mean, with the bigger companies, bigger companies, what you'll find is the sick pay policy covers them themselves for the first 3 months and then the income protection kicks in. So that's where those 3 months and 16 weeks, there are some policies out there that you can take out that will kick in after 4 weeks, but it's typically 13 or 26 weeks.
So state benefits for the first 13 weeks and then if you have this policy.
Yeah, it's important to note that it's 75% of your wage is the maximum, because they want to create a financial incentive for you to go back to work. 75% of your wage is the maximum, and that includes what you get from social welfare. So if you're taking out cover, make sure you take it into account if you're going to receive social welfare. One of the other things that these companies often do when you're out on claim on income protection is they'll actually pay for you to get retrained. They'll pay for you for some medical costs that might be kind of explorative stuff, medical procedures. And I don't mean like, I mean, oh, let's try and get you the best advice we can possibly get you here to see if we can get you back to work quicker,
right,
which is to your benefit. But I have heard of taxi drivers retraining as accountants at the cost of the life insurance company on top of the cost of the income protection payout.
Okay, a couple more questions. Is it daft for a 32-year-old single nurse who has no children and no mortgage to have income protection? No health problems? Am I too young? Is it a waste of money? Is there a better option?
No, I would absolutely suggest that that's exactly the right time to be taken out, because it'd be much cheaper for you now than it is later on. You'll also find, as a nurse or someone in the public sector, you probably have a big group scheme that can be very inexpensive, because what happens is you're taking it out as a group as opposed to an individual. So it's like wholesale rates instead of retail rates. So that is exactly the time. And these are not things that you go looking for when you've started to get sick or something has been diagnosed. You go and look for these things when you're healthy.
But is there a choice for that person to make between specified illness cover and income protection?
Yeah, and this is where you would look at the balance between the two. And usually what would happen, if budget's unlimited, you do both. Where you have a very restricted budget and there's no restrictions from an occupation point of view for the income protection, we'd usually buy a bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
And we just get the balance right.
Okay. What is dual life mortgage protection?
So if you could imagine if you and I, Claire, were taking out life cover together, where joint life would mean that when the policy pays out, if one of us dies, the policy pays out on one of us and then the policy finishes. If we took out due life at the start, which is usually a couple of quid extra per month, if we take out due life, if the policy paid out on my debt, it would then continue until you died as well and pay out on your death as well.
Okay. And another quick one. We're both 70. Both my husband and I have no life insurance or no life assurance. What's the minimum we can start with, or is there no point at this stage?
Well, remember, life cover is there to protect the income you haven't earned yet. Typically, when we get people to the age of 70, their earnings have stopped, their job has stopped. And it's often Section 72, which is a complete different day type of life cover that we'd be taking out. And that's protect against inheritance as opposed to anything else. So that's usually where we'd get. They also brought up a different thing, assurance and insurance. Yeah. What's the difference between the two? So assurance is for something that's definitely going to happen. Insurance is for something that might happen. So we used to have, we still have some of them now, whole of life policies. You took it out today and you kept it until you died, whether that was 100 years of age or whatever it was. Whereas, and that would be assurance, life assurance. Life insurance is, I'm taking it out for 10 years and I might die in that time.
Okay. Owen, thank you so much for all of that advice. That's Owen McGee. We are going to take a break back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.